Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're moving into the extra hour today. We'll be with you in just one moment. Don't miss, Steve Kalaszewski will be sharing with us today about how the Book of Acts is not a history book, but an operation manual. Good morning. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, VFN Radio. Joining me for the extra hour is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Woo! I'll be with you in just a moment. Good morning. We're in the extra hour. Kick back. Grab your cup of coffee. Slide your chair up to your desk. It is time. Woo! I'm telling you what, we're excited about the extra hour today. Oh my goodness, it's amazing how quickly the first hour goes. Make sure you don't miss it. It'll be available in your highlights as well as certain highlights from that. I just love the way the highlights are available for us to go back and listen to different things that were shared, because sometimes you don't have a lot of time and sometimes you need to go back and revisit them. And you can go back and revisit them by going to the VFN TV app, and you have VFN Radio and VFN TV on there, and you can listen to that particular highlight. Right. For example, you know, well, I don't know. We won't talk about that. But there actually, we have a weight loss program in there. Yeah, we talked about yesterday, and I think there's a highlight in there that says, you know, how to lose weight in Israel. We lost, somebody contacted us. You know, I was talking about chickpea sauce, you know, yeah. chickpea sauce, you know, it poured over my falafel, right?
Yeah.
And so when we were in Israel, and I killed it with that. Yeah. But by the time I got to talking about the falafel, getting on there, because took so long to talk about what I was talking about, that all I just said was, you know, and then I poured chickpea all over my falafel, and I'm like, it's chickpea sauce. So thank you for bringing that to our attention. It is chickpea sauce, but I think they're probably pretty much the same.
Yeah.
I didn't eat any of it at all. Well, joining us in the studio today is going to be Steve Kalaszewski. He's going to be sharing with us, you know, about his own personal journey in a church plant, advancing the kingdom of God. Remember Jesus, this is how, Jesus said, imitate me, right? Mm-hmm. This is what he said, imitate me.
Right.
And Paul said what? Imitate me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And our biggest frustration today is what? People are imitating us.
Don't do that.
But we can begin to, you know, practice it, begin to walk in it, and then people can look at you and learn how to do it. And we're seeing it take place right now. And so Jesus actually went out and he found 12.
Mm-hmm.
He called 12 to himself, 12 men who would actually be his disciples. And he trained them up. He developed intimacy with them, but he sent them out. Oh my goodness, people are spending millions of dollars to get them in. I don't know what the figures are, but we'll do it. But it's something like this. The American church is spending like $1.3 million. Pat, $1.3 million for per baptized believer.
Wow.
$1.3 million. $1.3 million. You know, and by the way, That's not good.
Right. Not at all.
$1.3 million per baptized believer. You know, it's excess of a million. We'll verify those numbers, but you can find out at Barna.org. But I'm just thinking, like, it's not what it costs us, $1.3 million to baptize somebody. You know, I mean, you know, find a pool and pay somebody's rent. Anyway, so, right? And so, I mean, right, especially right now, think about it. If we change the way we do things, and learn from our mistakes and especially the economy where we're going, if we quit spending $1.3 million per baptized believer, we can actually help the church out going through these difficult times where people are losing their jobs and all that. Imagine that, you know, in that $7,000 bouquet, you know, we can actually invest in that and buy a wheelchair or something, right?
Right.
And then nothing. Hey, I got a good friend that's a bouquet.
Nothing against them.
Nothing against them at all. But anyway, join us this morning. You know, in the studios is Steve Kolaszewski, and he's going to be sharing about, you know, when he was called. Obviously, you can actually find out his testimony. You can find his testimony. It's available in the highlights, right?
Right.
You can
go to the
VFM2. Yeah, and it's just beautiful how God loves you and how he loved Steve and met him at that moment. Mm-hmm. You know, he didn't even know God.
Right,
and he cried out to this God he didn't know, and God showed up and then began him on this journey. You got to hear it. You got to hear this two tour of duty Marine, is in this restaurant and he's working and you might want to hear it after you hear him talk today, you know, with me in the studio. Go back and listen to his testimony and find out how he got here, because it didn't start with what you're going to hear today, but it started with what you hear on his testimony right there. So joining us in the studio is Steve Kolaszewski. Radio studios right here. I know you're fixing to go have this wonderful church plant, you know, in Pittsburgh. Beautiful Pittsburgh. You remember when we were praying and, you know, and we knew, I was telling you, you know, it's time, man. It's just really time. You've been proven faithful in ministry. You know, you've done a work. You graduated from VFNU. You're rightly related to the body. You're hearing from God, you know. And you've walked it out, and it's like, it's just time now, you know, you need to begin to pray where God would want you in the world, right? Yeah. Remember that? You said, world, you know, and so you begin to pray, and, you know, God, where do you want me to plant a church? Remember that?
I'll never forget it.
It's like a blank slate, wasn't it? It's like, okay, God, here I am, send me. And you said anywhere. You were not picking or choosing.
Yeah.
You said, you know, and so what happened with that?
Oh, my goodness. I put a picture of the map of the United States on my phone at the time, and every single day, probably four or five times a day, I just would call out all 50 states. I'm like, okay, I was just so hungry, just asking God, where do you want me to go? I'll go. I'm like, if it's tomorrow, I'll go. And God spoke to me, and he showed me in my house. It wasn't my house at the time, but I knew it was my house, and he showed people in my house. And as soon as I saw them, I knew they were from a big city. So immediately I'm like, all right, I was speaking out in New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Miami, and now being in Florida, this is very, very significant. I'm from Detroit.
Right.
So anybody who's north of Tennessee knows there is an existence of sport called hockey.
Hockey?
Yes, hockey.
Hockey, okay.
Played on ice with sticks and a puck and a goalie.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
So I love hockey. I love my wings, Detroit Red Wings.
Well, we have hot wings and barbecue wings.
Right. Well, Detroit has the Detroit Red Wings.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I just love hockey. Mm-hmm. And it was
because...
Just like Pat loves the Saints and Florida loves football. Everywhere. Yeah. But just after God showed me the people in my house, and I was praying for the big city, get this. Mm-hmm. God shows me the entrance to the locker room of the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Is that not wild?
Hockey team.
You know that's God.
Exactly. And I just started telling everybody, and they're like, dude, that's God. I'm like, nobody in the state speaks hockey. Right. Like, that's God. And it was just like, one, it was my language.
Right.
Because it was hockey. And two, it was a direct answer to the big city.
Right.
Pittsburgh.
Right.
And I shared it, and they're like, yeah, just go with it. Right. Just keep praying. And And I just was asking God, just, you know, give me a heart, give me a
more confirmations. You were saying, Lord, just give me.
Knew nothing about Pittsburgh. All I knew was in the vicinity. It was in the Northeast. And in that, shortly afterwards, a friend of mine had a place that nobody was living in, and had said, hey, you know, if you want a place, you know, save some money for moving expenses whenever that does take a place, moving to Pittsburgh, you can move in. So I was like, yeah. And all these things just started, just, it was like God was just parting the Red Sea.
Right. And this you sit down, you took the wisdom of writing a vision and making it plain, and you wrote down every single thing that had needed to be done to be there.
Right.
I mean, very detailed plan.
Very detailed, yeah.
But then the whole world began to shift.
Exactly.
Once you became specific.
Yes. Like,
you were already sold out. You were already trained up. You were already related. You're bearing fruit. You're known by your fruit. But it wasn't until you said, yes, Lord, here I am, send me. And then you said, once he showed you, began to show you a place, you honed in, and you said, what's it going to take from point A to point Z? And you wrote everything down, correct?
Correct.
Isn't it amazing?
God, but the thing about it, that's exactly what God says: write down the vision, make it plain.
It's exactly.
And it speaks to the end, and that's
He'll rock your world. You put it on.
And it's amazing. It's like you think you're waiting on God in a timeline. God's just waiting for you. Just
come on.
To
you think about it.
Yeah,
I know that's a proven political statement amongst the church today. Do you really think God? Do you really think we're waiting on God?
No.
Like God's going, I just want to hold off a little bit more so a few more people die without me. You know, He wants us to go. Here I am. Mm-hmm. Send me. And that's what you said. And so you wrote that plan down. Mm-hmm. And I was like 7,000 pages, you know.
About 16.
Yeah, 16 pages. Yeah. Small print. But it was everything that was required.
Exactly.
And once you became specific, it got out of the air. It came down to become a real vision, mm-hmm. a real plan, a real focus. God's called you. God, things happen rapidly like this when it's God's will. I mean, if we're praying something that's not our will, you know, it's like we keep beating the horse. But, you know, obviously God's really in his kingdom and wanting to advance it. And so, I mean, things were just happening so quick you couldn't even hardly check them off. You're like, you have to go back to your list, and it's like, okay, that whole page is done now. Yeah. Right?
Absolutely.
And so, I wanted a confirmation as well, you know, mm-hmm. and I wanted to hear as well. So I asked, I was coming out of a meeting over at in Mississippi. And it was early in the morning. It was early, early. But that night before I'd actually went to sleep, I said, Lord, would you give me a dream to confirm for Steve, you know, what his direction is so he can have confirmation outside of himself. Mm-hmm. And then the Lord gave me a very specific dream. And in this dream, he showed me a city, and he showed me a whole group of Hasidic Jews in this city. And they were on Amish vehicles, which, you know, if you're the Amish, the black carts and and they're driving to the city at nighttime, and but everybody in the city was sleeping, so they were in it but not of it. But it was a whole family of a Jewish family, if you would, but almost like a lineage thing. And my goodness. And so I called you up early in the morning. It was like, right. You know, you're a Marine, come on. I called you early, right? Mm-hmm. He was sleeping, by the way. Ooh,
but what was significant about that is I think you called me at whether it was 5 a.m, 6 a.m, at time, mm-hmm. Whenever my alarm was set.
Right.
And my alarm was going off mm-hmm. as you called me.
Simultaneously.
So, you know, like on your phone, you can change, you know, where it's mm-hmm. a text message, incoming call, alarm. Well, as I was walking to my wherever my phone was in the morning, this is what my phone did. It said, alarm, alarm. Incoming phone call, alarm, alarm. Mm. And as I'm walking, just woke up, I'm like, what is that all about? And it was you calling me, telling me exactly what God just showed you, confirming what he spoke to me. And in that moment, I was like, I'm set. Like, I just took that as like, I'm calling you to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And it was just like.
It was like, reveille, reveille, reveille. Remember that? Reveille, reveille.
Amen.
He's like, you're wrong. and so then, you know, it's Pittsburgh. I mean, you're Pittsburgh bound. Everything. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, you would go to the store and people would wear Pittsburgh hats and hit you upside the head. I mean, everywhere is Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh tags. People with broken hearts from Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh Steeler fans, you know. I mean,
everywhere. I was like, I've never seen a Pittsburgh fan in the state of Florida. Now they all came to Pensacola.
You even go to pack a box at work or something. You had like pliers from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, like, vice grips. And they had a stamp of Pittsburgh on my desk. And it was – nobody knew I was going to Pittsburgh. And I'm just like shouting. I'm like, are you serious?
Right.
Like, it was God.
So I wonder what God's saying.
God loves Pittsburgh.
He loves the people of Pittsburgh. Is that cool? And so then, you know, of course, then God provided you a place that was basically almost free to live in.
Right.
And move out of this luxury, sweet life of yuppiehood, you know, where you were living in Florida. And to save that money up, right? And once you've moved the Comet and all the things, another story. And so then, you know, you're preparing and you know you're going to have a break because you're going now and you're about to graduate. Yes, you graduated. You walked the States, but you're doing two more classes at University of West Florida. Mm-hmm. And you know you have a week off, a spring break, mm-hmm. right? So you've already planned. I'm going to be in Pittsburgh for that week. I'm going to spy out the land because that's what we do, right? We go, God sends us to a land. We first spy it out. We go out and meet the people and, recon, you know.
Recon it out.
Recon for Jesus. And so then – and then, you know, so you prepared for that time. And so tell us about that. I mean, you went ahead and bought the ticket, right?
Yeah.
So tell us what happened. Tell us about that week.
Well, it was so significant before I even landed in Pittsburgh. Like I said, when God began to just speak to me about Pittsburgh, I got a map and I just wanted to find all the details. And in Pittsburgh, they have something called boroughs. And a borough is like a suburb of the city or the city. And there's a borough in Pittsburgh, it's called Squirrel Hill. And from what I was told by the locals is that Squirrel Hill has the highest density of Jewish people next to Israel. Mm. And so God just began.
Next to Israel, wow.
There's a lot of Jewish people. And God began giving me a heart for Squirrel Hill. I was like, God, I just want to meet them.
Right.
And
especially since, you know, one of the confirming aspects of what God said was it was Hasidic Jews. You know, when you hear that, what I'm saying is it's people that are dressed in the garb. They're dressing like they feel they need to dress as Jews, which is the black clothing and the hat and the ringlets and all that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they live just like that in the streets of Pittsburgh in their homes. It's
amazing. Tell us how. Well, wait a minute. You're jumping ahead.
I'm jumping ahead. So I'm on the plane and.
Well, you're on a plane. So you actually went.
So I fly. I get excited anytime I talk about Pittsburgh. So basically,
well, you actually went and studied Pittsburgh, and you literally you grabbed the map of Pittsburgh, and you began to love it before you even showed up, right?
Say again.
You begin to love the city before you showed up. So you actually already had the maps of Pittsburgh in your heart.
Oh yeah,
you had a God positioning system, a GPS already when you got there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And so. As you said before, I had a specific week in between the spring semester and then the summer semester. Mm-hmm. So I knew exactly, I'll be leaving May 8th and then coming back on May 13th. And got on a plane, had graduated, had commenced for the day before, left the flight at 6 a.m. And had been praying for Pittsburgh since January. So I was praying for Pittsburgh for 5 months. The whole VFN family was praying. It was God. And you know how when you're on a plane, right, whenever you land in your destination, the pilot says, okay, you can now stand up and retrieve your baggage from the overhead compartment. So I stand up.
That's probably exactly what they say. You're amazing.
Yeah. And he said something about the temperature and the timeline, something else. And so I stand up, and this guy is just standing right in front of me. He just turns around, and he looks at me, and he says, hey, are you from the Panhandle? Which is the northwest tip of Florida, the Gulf Coast. I said, yeah, I'm from Pensacola. He goes, oh, well, my wife and I, we're from Niceville, which is about a 30-minute drive east. He's like, yeah, we're from Niceville and we're believers. That's the first thing he said to me. Wow. I was like,
wow.
Okay, cool. I go, oh, are you guys from Pittsburgh? He says, yeah.
That's a real difficult city to live up to, isn't it? Where are you from? I'm from Niceville. I mean, you always got to be nice, right? He's like, we're from Niceville. You know, that's a difficult name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. Never. So people from Niceville who were from the Florida Panhandle were landing the same time you were landing, standing in the aisle that you were standing in, and they turn around and introduce themselves as Christians, as Christ followers. Okay.
Wow. Believers this is amazing.
Believers of Jesus.
And they look at me and they say, yeah, we're from Pittsburgh too. We're from Squirrel Hill.
Get out of Dodge.
And I was like,
no way.
Are you serious?
Exactly. I just kind of like lost it. And the people are looking at me.
I mean, before you get off the plane.
I didn't even step in Pittsburgh yet. And I'm like,
God
no
is
way.
So cool, is he not?
And,
he's awesome.
They're grabbing their bags. He's like, yeah, man, yeah, mm-hmm. get your stuff. We'll just talk, you know, once we get in the airport. I was like, okay, cool. Yes. And I immediately just started just praising God. I was like, I'm not even here yet. I'm like, and you're already moving. This is amazing.
Wow. Squirrel Hill is beautiful.
So, and it was Jera and Angela. And awesome. They were just so welcoming. And looking back on that, it was so significant because before I even arrived, before my feet touched Pittsburgh soil.
Oh, goodness.
The Jewish community welcomed me.
Oh, is that beautiful?
Is that not an answered prayer or
that
what?
Is,
like, I just praise his name.
So what do you think God's saying?
He is so in control.
What do you think he's saying? you know what I'm saying? Right.
I'm there right now.
Awesome.
So
I just, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, how blessed if I was from Pittsburgh and I knew that you were coming and that God had called you. I was just so – I couldn't wait for you to come and be there for me and introduce me to God and disciple me and just – I mean, it would just be so exciting, you know, knowing that you were coming. And it's just cool. It's just really cool. So keep on. So you hadn't hit the ground yet. You hit the ground. The plane hit the ground, but your feet hadn't touched the ground.
So I'm talking to Jared and Angela, middle of the airport, and they're just like, oh, you know, so if you've never been into the city, take this specific freeway, which is 279, if you're familiar with the area, and you go through the tunnels. And as you exit the tunnels, there's the skyline. It just opens up to you. Now, I'm from Detroit, and Detroit's like a closet compared to Pittsburgh. It's such a beautiful city. It's a huge city.
Well, it's beautiful. I mean, since God gave you a burden, you begin to introduce it to all of us all over the U.S., and we're falling in love with it.
Amen.
You know? The Three Rivers City and all the things that are there. And
yeah. And so I drive into Pittsburgh, and I get lost every single day. But I wanted to go like straight into downtown and just go where the people are. I'm like, I just want to be where people are. And I had a map, but it was just like, oh, I'll just take a left here. And you're like, no, you can't because you're on a bridge. And it's just like, I can't take a left.
He'll take a left on the bridge.
You know?
There he is on CNN. You got welcome by the river.
Exactly. So I was just like, I can't. Where do I go? And I could not exit. And I was trying to go into the city, and finally I found a road. I was like, I'm just going to take it. And I was like, okay, all right, let's just check our bearings here. I was like, okay, where are we? I look at my map, and I'm exactly two blocks directly south of the Holocaust Center.
Oh, my goodness. So you weren't lost. You were actually being led.
To Squirrel Hill.
Oh, my. To Squirrel Hill.
I was in Squirrel Hill.
Oh, my goodness. I would assume that would be where the museum is. That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Holocaust Museum. Oh, my goodness.
God took me right to Squirrel Hill.
It's not God. If you're listening right now and you're wondering if God is involved in the affairs of your life, you listen, everything that religion's told you, everything that the world has tried to come against God and the things, God exists and he rewards those who diligently seek him. If you want to know more about what Steve is talking about, you can go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org. Listen, God has called many people who don't yet see how to get there. And what we're finding out, you know, you can actually get there. You just need to get rightly related to believers who believe God and want to be able to advance his kingdom. So anyway, so you actually, God leads you to get right off on Squirrel Hill. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Beautiful. So what happened?
Yeah. So I go and I was just like,
you're spying out the
land. Well, I
got to
go.
For those listeners who just joined us, you know, you're spying out the land because God's already called you to Pittsburgh. And so you set this week up and it's a spring break from your college and you're going there to be able to spy out the land and get to know and hear God, right?
Right.
You want to hear? Okay.
Yeah. And so I go walk around the museum and it's just so sobering.
That's tough as hell.
I just can't even speak, you know, just walking through that. And, so immediately
it makes you understand, you know, God's perspective of Israel, that Israel has a right to exist. They have a right to live, you know, and we stand with Israel. And God is he's not a man that he would lie or the son of man that he would change his mind. He doesn't speak and not act and promise and not fulfill that, you know, that Israel is his chosen people. You know, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is our God too. And we want to stand with Israel. Those who bless Israel, God blesses. And it's very significant because, you know our heart, but the listeners might not know our heart, that we love Israel. I mean, we're learning how to love Israel, but we love Israel. And there you are right there. And so what happened next?
So I just wanted to just, like I said, be where the locals are. So I'm walking around Squirrel Hill and, went to a local eatery and, was just talking to some people I left Squirrel Hill after probably about an hour and a half. And, let me back up. When I walked through Squirrel Hill, I'd never seen an Hasidic Jew, nor knew, quote unquote, like what an Hasidic Jew was. I'd seen pictures of the Western Wall of Jerusalem and Tel Aviv and that area. And they're just walking down the street. There's not a question like, I wonder if he's Jewish or not. And it's amazing because seeing them with their families, with, the fathers wearing, like you said, like the black hats, the black, it was just like, there's not a question. I wonder if he's a Jew or not. And in an instant, God began speaking to me. He's just like, that's how my people are supposed to be.
That's right. Christians.
You should stand out just like that. And there shouldn't be a question.
Don't blend in.
Exactly.
Right?
Are you a follower of Jesus Christ or are you a follower of the world who wears a t-shirt? And it was just like,
a t-shirt.
Like I just began like weeping, walking down the sidewalk. And it was just, I was just like, oh my goodness. I'm like, and I remember calling you because I was just like shouting. I was so excited.
Right.
And from the moment I got off the plane, I was just smiling. I was just like, oh my, it was just.
And you got to know Steve. I mean, you got to know Steve. When he smiles, sometimes I'm concerned the two ends are going to connect. And I don't know what biologically happens. I don't know what happens when those two ends meet. But I love to see Steve smile. And so he was, I can imagine what he was like walking around Pittsburgh with a smile.
I can't.
Because it's like these ha-ha moments. It's like, oh, it's my goodness. God. Look, oh, everywhere we were looking like, God told me I'm walking in a prophecy right now. I'm like in this, I'm in the word of God. I don't know if I'm in the spirit or out of spirit. It all makes sense, doesn't it? Totally makes sense. So I know that, I don't want to, I know that our listeners are just, their time, but listen to this. I know that you were walking under the bridge there where the three rivers meet, and you could kind of see a ball game going on from a distance, I think, across the river. And tell us what happened right there. This is why you're spying out the land.
Yeah. Yeah. This is Wednesday. I really wanted to see the point. And the point is something in Pittsburgh where the three rivers meet. And I started walking on the north end of the point, and you can see PNC Park where the Pittsburgh Pirates play. And I started walking east along the water, and I just really started crying out to God. I was just like, God, break my heart for this city. Break my heart for these people. Yes. Let me see them like you see them, God. And, like I said, there was a game going on, and it was I looked to my right, and there was a homeless person under the bridge.
Okay.
And their clothes were all out because it had rained the day before, so their clothes were hanging underneath the bridge to dry out. And I walked past them, and I couldn't walk anymore. This guy was just tugging me to go back and just sit with them. So I turned back around, and they're sitting like on a blanket. They're watching the game. They're just kind of just sitting down. And I said, can I watch a game with you? And they just kind of nodded at me, and I sat down, and we just started talking. And her name was Shane. And God just really just God was just breaking my heart just sitting with her. And I was like, I've been praying for you for 5 months. I've been praying for you.
Awesome.
And I'm meeting you now. And I just began telling her about Jesus, and she just began sharing her heart and telling me, she's like, I know what I'm doing contradicts what God has for me, but she's like, I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. I can't stop. I don't know how to do it. And I just began just telling her in scripture. I said, you can't do it.
Right.
I said, you can do this through Jesus Christ. I said, Jesus Christ has got a plan for you.
Yeah.
And she's like, is that in the Bible? I said, yeah, that's in the Bible. She's like, I have a Bible in my bag. I
go, she had a Bible. Oh,
had a
my
Bible
goodness.
In her bag. And I said, you have it right now? She says, yeah. She ran over, got her bag, and pulled out her Bible, and just took her to, some scripture, just telling her, it's just like, you can do all things through Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
and just prayed for her.
Well, let's be a little specific here, because we want to be able, our listeners, you know, they need to know, you know, that God can save, God can set us free, God meets us right where we are, that God loves you and has a plan for your life, no matter what anybody tells you.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that her story is that she just came from Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Tell us what happened.
She just came from Washington, D.C., been looking for work, addicted to drugs. She was on methamphetamines. And as soon as I started talking about God, she said, I knew you were going to talk to me about God, because I can't find any meth in this city. And I think it's God that he moved me here to get me off drugs, because I moved here and I can't find any drugs. And my girlfriend just broke up with me. And she's in a life of sexual immorality. And
well, then amazing. She knew, it's like God's bringing you guys together. It was like a God. And I mean, there's a lot of encounters that happened there. We're talking about one under the bridge. And she's going, I know this is God. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, I did that for 7 days.
It's just beautiful.
He didn't stop.
So what happens? She pulls her Bible out.
She pulls her Bible
out. Her concern was, she I know you shared with me that she knows it's right to go with God, but she was concerned that she couldn't obey God.
Right, yeah.
And then you shared your testimony. Tell us about it. So she's expressing herself.
So I was telling with her, I was just like, you know, I was an addict. I mean, the drugs I did, the alcoholic, you know, so many one-night stands, you know, there wasn't enough to meet the need.
We were trying to find the same thing, to find it through other people and relationships and all that.
Going through everything offered by the world.
Right.
And I just told her, I said, Jesus Christ has healed my life. And I said, whatever you're searching for will only be found in Jesus Christ. And I promise you, it's not a religion. I said, he loves you. He's got a plan for your life. And I said, he is for you. He is not against you. And she was weeping. I was weeping.
Awesome.
I mean,
beautiful.
It was just a puddle of tears.
Under the bridge. If you go right now and you go to your Google or your Bing, and you type in Pittsburgh, and you can see, that you can actually look and see where she and Steve were under that bridge right there, right across from the ball field. And that's where she tells what happened. It's where she met God, right?
Yeah.
Tell us what happened.
We were, like I said, I was just praying for her, and I said, you can do this through Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then right after that, so the people that were just staying with her, immediately just started walking towards us, and, it was just the enemy just trying to snuff that out.
That's so awesome how God just set that up. I know I want to say one more thing. I know we're gonna need to bring this to a close, but I want to say this: that when you first arrived there, you got welcomed by the Jewish community, and you ended up by God's divine intervention in Squirrel Hill.
Right.
But then you went to this park. I mean, you only been in Pittsburgh for a couple of moments. You know, and we're all about if that's what Jesus did. That's what we do, right? We want to have a meal with somebody. We want to go and eat with the people. We want to spend time with them, you know?
Right.
And so what happened? Like, I know you first got there, this happened, and boom, you're like a couple hours later, you know?
I'd been staring at a map for the last 5 months, and I just really felt drawn to the Southwest. And there's a little borough called Dormont, and I was walking up a street, and there's a place called Moore Park. And I walked right in up to Moore Park, and there was this guy, and he was like, hey, Vinny, hey, come here, man.
To you?
Yeah. And I was like, what? And he's like, oh, I thought you were somebody else. He's like, what you doing here? And I go, oh, man, God said Pittsburgh. I'm in Pittsburgh. He's like, oh, you're not from here? And I just started talking to him, and his name was Nick. And within like 30 seconds, he was just like, you know, just telling me, he's like, oh, are you moving back here? I said, yeah. He's like, cool. Well, give me a call, man. We'll go to mass or something. We'll have a cup of coffee. I'd love to hear what God's doing, man. I was like, okay. You know? And
so it's like, Vinny. Vinny.
Yeah.
Is that you, Vinny?
So I continued walking in through Moore Park, and Pittsburgh is just so mountainous. It's not.
I saw that pit. He's like, man, cutting that grass, you got to have a rope around your waist, I guess.
Literally. So I'm walking, and I see a soccer game going on, like on the bottom of a cliff. And I walk into this.
Yeah, wait. You have a soccer game going on a cliff.
There's a soccer game going on the bottom of a cliff. So I see the soccer game going on. I'm like,
is that like zero gravity? I mean, how does that work?
No, I said there's a soccer game at the bottom.
Oh, at the bottom of the cliff. Okay.
Right. And so I go walk to the bleachers. And, you know, there's not really too many people there. So I go to sit down to watch the game just to just watch the people.
Right.
And some guy behind me just starts talking to me. Just starts talking to me about right. the team. Hour and a half later, his name's Russ.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, you know, we just start talking about God and just sharing his heart. And he just says, hey, you want to have dinner with my wife and my family? And
you mean the first night there, you get welcomed in by the Jews, like the upside would happen.
Right.
You ended up in Squirrel Hill.
Right.
Walked to the Holocaust Museum.
Right.
And then you're sitting there being invited for dinner. And it hasn't even been 24 hours yet.
I was there hours.
Is that amazing?
It was God.
Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you something. If you've been wondering if God is real, he's very real. If you're wondering if he has a plan for your life, he has a plan for your life. And not only that, when you think about this, that he everything he says you can do, you can do. He's going to empower you to be able to do that very thing. Think about this, that not only will when you set your mind, just like Steve set his mind, to be able to follow God and made a commitment to God and started going through, you know, it didn't just happen, but he did whatever is required, whatever needed to be able to prepare himself. And you need to be prepared, you know, and a prudent person sees what they need to do and they prepare for it. And he did it. And you could do that and find out more. As Steve did and many others, you can go to vfnu.org, vfnu.org, and find out a little bit more about, you know, what he went through and others are going through. Maybe that's for you. You also can find out about how to get connected to one of the many VFN churches, or maybe God's calling you to be a new church plant with the VFN family. Go to vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org. So I want to say one more thing before we close this, that, you know, you're not there yet. You have a couple more moments left. I mean, what are you thinking about right now? Because you're trying to wrap up a couple more things. You've been a man of integrity. You've handled your finances well. You're leaving well. Mm-hmm. You're leaving where the city that you are in better off than it was when you came. You've trained yourself up. You've blessed others. Many people have come to know the Lord, begin to relate to God, have been healed, and you're headed that way. But what do you? I mean, are you ready to go to Pittsburgh? Tell us about it.
I've been there for 5 months.
Is that not awesome?
I've been there. I mean, all I think about is like the neighbors, the people I've met, you know, the streets, the cities, the boroughs, walking. I just see prayer walks. I just see praying for people. I just see, you know, the salvations. I just see just healing sicknesses and
God being
having
God,
people.
Huh?
Yeah. Just having people over and to my home and I can see it. I see people gathering around the table. I see people just worshiping the Lord.
So I got a question for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people are concerned about, well, they think too much. As if God needs our brains.
Right.
You know, he created all of our brains. So if we're just using our only brain to figure out God who created every brain there ever was, mm-hmm. it's kind of silly, isn't it?
I had a hard time thinking about calculus.
Yeah, I know it.
Let alone the kingdom of God.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, what it works is God speaks to our spirit, and then we allow our brain to get involved to be able to manage what God allows us to be able to do. But we don't try to figure God out and then push it down to our spirit and then walk it out. And
right.
So, I mean, right now, if you think about it, you know, because you know, one of the big things you're going to need, you're going to need income. You know, you have mm-hmm. work in Florida, but you're going to need work in Pittsburgh. You're going to mm-hmm. need, you know, God's going to bless the work of your hands. And mm-hmm. so, you know, God specifically gave you a word of knowledge, didn't he, mm-hmm. about working for a particular national company.
Mm-hmm.
And when the brain disengaged and the spirit began to move, right, then
yes.
all of a sudden everything God said, it's like clockwork, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have people waiting for you to give you a job mm-hmm. with a national company
mm-hmm.
in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
You have people that are being led to the Lord that love Jesus, inviting you over. And it's like everything is working out when God's involved, isn't it? Isn't that pretty cool?
Yeah, it's amazing.
So you didn't make your job your God. You made God your God. You made his vision your vision, the advancement of his kingdom. And then all these wonderful things just begin to happen. It's like an adventure, isn't it?
Amen.
Yeah, I know that, you know, our listeners might not know that, but, you know, you're a Marine. And, you know, Marines, they're the tip of the spear, right? Mm-hmm. And a big shout out to all of our Marines that are listening. But, I mean, it's an adventure, isn't it?
You're right.
If you're looking for something that totally takes your mind to a whole new level, are you ready? Are you ready? You know, I don't know what they say with the Marines. I don't know what they say. What's the saying to them?
Aruga.
Oh, well, no. I mean, obviously, when they're trying to recruit somebody, they go,
rah.
Yeah, rah. Or, you know, or, you know, they have some commercials in the Army where they say, you know, we do most before you even get most people get up in the morning, something like mm-hmm. that. But if you really, let me tell you something. If you want to be a part of something so exciting, so exhilarating, so, I mean, it will take you to the edge of yourself and beyond. As a matter of fact, you'll have to deny yourself to go this journey. If you want to enter in to the kingdom of God, and that's what we're supposed to seek first. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, which is the king's dominion over you. If you want to just get out of this world and get into God's world, you need to get involved, right? You need to get involved, vfnfamily.org. There's nothing, is it not? I'm like, my goodness, how boring life is if all you're doing is looking at the day-to-day life, listen to the mundane things of the prognosticators on all the shows and thinking that God can't do anything about it. God's holding everything together. Amen. Listen, get involved. If you haven't got involved yet, go to vfnfamily.org and you can join in.
Oh my goodness. What an awesome time with Steve. And I'm excited about Pittsburgh, how God just loves Pittsburgh. If that's you, you know, if God's calling you and you're getting excited and your faith is stirred, that's what we want. We want your faith to be stirred. Remember, God called them to himself, and then he sent them out. And he worked with those who went out, what? Confirming his word as they went.
That's right.
We're supposed to be winters, right?
Yeah.
Have you went yet, right?
Right.
Have you went yet? No, we actually send people to went for us. How much money do you need? Well, you went for us, right? So it's, you know, we're supposed to be the go-ye church, not the come-ye church, right? We're
like, that's right.
Please come. No, God's going, please go. You know, you see all the signs. It says all these different little quirks and things to be able to, like, you know, this is come. It's like, why not just go? I mean, Jesus had 12 and went, and look what happened, right?
I know.
I'm glad.
Changed really the world.
Yeah, and all of those weren't in agreement, were they? All
right.
And so we just want to, believe it or not, this week, I know I had this plan for next year. And I was thinking about doing it last year, but I just jumped ahead of schedule.
Oh, wow.
This week.
Yeah.
I exercised.
Wow.
It was amazing. And I was really impressed, you know. I was really impressed, you know. I actually, remember I told you I want to just clean everything out where all the exercise gear is, and I just want to stand there and believe God for a divine encounter. See if something would happen. Yeah. And, you guys must be really praying for me because, you know, there was a divine encounter. You know, I just felt this it got real early, you know, and I went in there and spent some time exercising.
Very good.
You know, benching 300 pounds.
Impressive.
No, that was just me getting off the floor. No, but it was three times, you know. So I'm already way ahead of schedule. Just the way God took Steve way ahead of schedule for Pittsburgh. You know, I was scheduling exercise next year.
Right.
But the fact that I began to speak it into existence this week, it was confirmed.
Wow.
I exercised and it was so good. So I encourage you to do a little activity. You know, they say, you know, sitting around. Some of the news reports are coming out this week that, you know, sitting around, because we have so many jobs that require us to just sit and enter data and move things around, that we got to be active and doing something. Mm-hmm. We used to say when we go out and take all these men into the wilderness and we asked them to do sports, we just had to remind them, listen, you've only been watching it on TV. You really haven't been doing it.
Right.
And because they would go out and we'd have them do, you know, some different sports and things. Matter of fact, one year I turned around when whoever was a sports coordinator, they were doing sports with their sons or the boy they were mentoring. And so one part of the events that we would have is they would do these events together and these sports together. And I remember... And the coordinator would actually handle all that. So when I was passing by that part of the camp, and we had thousands of people, 500 times, whatever the number was, and And I passed by and I looked over there and these fathers had a 55-gallon drum, a metal 55-gallon drum on their shoulder.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, these are like, you know, administrators and, you know, guys who watch ESPN walking up. They were not, didn't have just a 55-gallon metal drum on their shoulder. They were walking on a 2x6 that was between their. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
And they're going like, we just want to make it difficult. Listen, it doesn't take much for an American to make it difficult for them, you know. And so,
oh, my goodness.
Anyway, they say activity. Mm-hmm. Don't carry a 55-gallon drum over your head and walk through, you know, a 2x6 plank.
Yeah.
But, you know, just moving around a little bit, you know, get a little activity. I encourage you. And it just gets your blood flowing and it, you know, it just it helps your ability to your memory. I think I can't remember that part, but I just want to encourage you to be active, do something today, you know, get out. What I do too is you can walk in your neighborhood and pray over your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about Luke 10 walks, you know, and that's basically what, when Steve went to go spy out Pittsburgh and all the encounters that happened, you know, walk around your neighborhood and begin to pray over your neighbors and just bless it and ask God to set angels up and to pray over their marriages and their children. And their jobs, you know, that God would just keep their jobs and all, and that they don't need to know you're actually doing that, you know, just pray over them. Mm-hmm. And I did that for a while, and also, you know, they all came to me and wanted a neighborhood watch. And so just encourage you to be a little active today, but I did. I meant that. So actually, three times.
Wow.
Yeah. This morning, I was like, I did it three times already. So just be praying for me next week, and maybe you guys can join me, start hearing some shouts out, you know, on our Facebook at facebook.com/VFNTV. You know, subscribe. You can subscribe to our Facebook by choosing like, and you'll get the notifications that go out. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at VFNTV1. That's the number one, VFNTV1. You know, every weekend, just so you know this, we have VFN Radio Marathon Weekend. And what that is that every single, you know, first of all, every day show, when we record live, we're live right now. We record live between 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Central Time. And then after it's completed, today's program completed immediately, maybe about, I don't know, 30 minutes or so after the program today, it actually will go up where when people come to this very same place where you're listening live right now, and it will play all day long. And in every time zone, they'll actually be able to hear the morning program, you know, all the way from here to China and all.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you miss it, or you're at work and you're having to come back and forth and stuff, that you can just let it play. Just let it play and then come back, and it's just going to loop again. And we want you to be able to catch it and be encouraged. And so that happens during the day. So today's program will play all day long. But then the weekend, every program from that week will play. And we call that the Marathon Weekend. The Marathon Weekend, VFN Radio Marathon Weekend, what happens is you'll have Monday's program play, and then Tuesday's program will play, and it goes all the way through Fridays, and then it will come back again to Mondays again. So this is a great chance for those that don't have access to VFN Radio during the week that they can listen to it in the weekend. It's a good time to be able to share it with your friends, and they can just have a – maybe you're driving to a friend's place or to a different state, or you got a business – then you have to travel for or ministry that you actually can listen in your entire drive to fresh manna that week from VFN Radio straight through. If it's a 10-hour drive, that would be 10 hours of straight interviews and stuff just like you're hearing today and all the things that are taking place, and you'll be greatly encouraged. So the Marathon Weekend starts right at 9 a.m., I believe, on Saturdays Central Time, and it will play all the way through until we meet you again on Monday morning at 9 a.m. So let's call it VFN Radio Marathon Weekend. Make sure that you don't miss it. Well, we're going to have a, before we close, we're coming to the last part of this extra hour. Oh my goodness. It just happens so quickly. But I just want to say real quick, like, you know, we talk about the original intent. Two original intents we talk about. One is the original intent of the church. You know, what is it? What did God mean by that? What we want to get back to the original intent, like, Josiah, when Josiah, they found the Bible, well, they found the Word of God in the temple when they were cleaning it all out, and he realized, we have the original intent here. We need to get back to the way it was. And this is, we need Josiahs that are willing to raise up and say, you know what? I want to go back to the original intent of the church. I don't care whatever happened, whatever, how we got here,
you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to talk about that. We just need to find out what God's original intent is for us. And he says, you know, he says his whole purpose for the church was to make his manifold wisdom known to the heavenly realm.
Right.
And we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. We're seated with Jesus in the heavenly realm.
Right.
And there's so many things we're supposed to be doing, not sitting, but doing and going and being. So the original intent. We'll talk more about that. But today, we're going to talk briefly as we close in our last 10 minutes. Can you believe it? It's just flying. But I'm going to quickly talk to you about the original intent of America. We're going to talk about that, you know, our founding fathers' original intent. That, you know, we have a particular document. It's called the U.S. Constitution. And, you know, Constitution, when somebody says, this is this person's Constitution, well, they're not saying, you know, that they have a document called the Constitution. The word Constitution means this is what holds them, this is what they're made of. That they have a, this person's Constitution is like this. And so when you're saying that, you're saying this is what they're made of. No, we've actually taken away, you know, I'm all about, you know, definitions and all. But to understand that when we're saying the U.S. Constitution, we're saying this is what America's original intent, this is what it's made of. It's not mm-hmm. just this piece of paper, and it's the only thing in the world called Constitution. No, the word Constitution means what it's made of.
Right.
And so we need to find out what the original intent is, you know, what is it made of? And when you think about the, and you can find out, you know, those that are in the VFN family can go to DoSpace and find out all that we're talking about. I'm reading right straight off DoSpace now. But when you think about the Constitution, you know, the Constitution tells very specifically in our Bill of Rights, you know, what we're made of, what things happen and how our rights come from God, and that it doesn't come from man, and that we have a right to pursue happiness, but it doesn't mean we have guaranteed happiness, which means I have to get involved in the process of being happy. And your happiness is not my fault. Your unhappiness, you know, I'm not your fault, right?
Right.
And if I'm your fault, then I want to know who's my fault, right? Yeah. And so, you know, in the Constitution, you know, I don't know if you knew this or not, but that did you know that the states can actually, I believe it's the sixth article. We'll find out more about that because I'm not talking about that now. But if Washington's not doing what they should do, mm-hmm. which is the ones we're supposed to actually, you know, represent us there, then I think it's like 38 states can come together and they can decide to change the Constitution themselves.
Oh, wow.
Outside of Washington. So they actually 38 states can get together and say, this is what we want. And if Washington locks up for some, whatever reason, mm-hmm. then 38 states, if they can agree on it, then they can actually change the Constitution themselves.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Didn't know that.
I know. But believe it or not, I think it was a 13-year-old who did a project at school that actually began to introduce the sixth article.
Oh, wow.
Like, oh, sixth article. I'm like, oh my God. But this is what I'm talking about. I'm going to talk about, you know, the Constitution, you know, says that our rights come from God and that we actually send representatives to our places of government and we loan those leadership positions to them. And they report back to us. But in the Constitution, it has the amendments. And the First Amendment is, let me read it to you. It says that it's called, we call it the freedom of religion, but it actually says Congress. Now, Congress is the body of leaders in America that actually makes laws. The executive branch is not supposed to make laws.
Right.
They're supposed to administer the laws. So your representatives that you send to Congress, they will actually make the laws. I don't know if you've seen the little cartoon. We were in Washington, D.C. I just had to sit on the front steps of the Congress. And I don't know if you remember the little cartoon years ago, but he go, I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. But someday, you know, that's,
yeah.
I'm not sure. It sounds terrible.
You had a nice voice.
Did it? Oh, my goodness. Wow. Nothing like technology.
You do that again?
I know. And I'm sure you can probably find it on YouTube somewhere. And I sat there and I sang that song because I just always wanted to do it. So Congress are the ones that make the laws. Executive branch, which would be our president, for example, in our nation, then they execute. It's executive branch. They execute the laws. They make sure that they're actually being protecting our borders and that type of thing. And the judiciary branch are the ones that examine the law to make sure they're constitutional. Now, all of this is dictated by the Constitution. That's where it comes from. That's their operating manual for the country is the Constitution. So when you talk mm-hmm. about changing the Constitution, you're talking about changing our way we're made up and the way that we do things. You know, I was in law enforcement. I would arrest somebody. When I would arrest them, I had to read them their constitutional rights. When somebody looks at you and they're saying, listen, you have the right to remain silent.
Mm-hmm.
you don't want them to say this to you, but it doesn't mean you're guilty, but you're being arrested. Or you're being interviewed or suspected of a crime. You have the right to remain silent. Mm-hmm. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. You have the right to an attorney. If you can't afford one, one will be appointed to represent you if you wish. Mm-hmm. And then we would say, do you understand these rights? And they would say yes or no.
Right.
And having these rights in mind, do you wish to talk to me now? Why would you do that? People say, I can't believe that you would say that to somebody. Because they're an American.
Right.
Because they're an American. There was a day that they actually would think you were guilty over in Europe, and they would tie chains around you, and they would throw you in a river, and they think if he floats, he's innocent. If he sinks, he's guilty.
Wow.
They would give us all these different things. We don't want to talk too much about that. There's a reason why we got to this point. And so our original intent of the Founding Fathers was to say we can't have that. And the first amendment to the Constitution talks about the Congress, and the Congress are the ones that make laws. That's why it's so important. That means nobody – and he says this, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridge the freedom of speech, what we're doing even now, or of the press, or the right of people to peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for readiness or grievances. So you can actually petition the government. You can actually say, this is how it should be. You can have a grievance. You can publicly meet, like Putin right now in Russia. They just passed a law that's against, if that happened here, that would be a doing away with our First Amendment rights. Because mm-hmm. you can no longer publicly gather over there. You can't peacefully assemble anymore. Mm-hmm. And so, I want to talk about just briefly about that First Amendment right. The fact that if you are the church, and we're going to be having an interview coming up with John Stenberger. John Stenberger is an attorney out of Orlando, an awesome man of God. But also, he's the one that represented the Florida Constitution and getting the marriage amendment on the Constitution that says marriage is between one man and one woman.
Right.
And it's an awesome interview that we're going to have about, you know, what is your rights as the church? What is your constitutional rights? And so many people are in fear, mm-hmm. and they're thinking, oh, you know, I can't, you know, you can understand that's the enemy repressing, you know, even if we didn't have the rights that we do have, and we do have them, mm-hmm. you still have to follow God and obey God, you know, even if you go to the lion's den, even if you go to the fiery furnace, you know, even you got, and the church has gotten so, you know, fearful. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's amazing. You know, I was talking to a leader recently, he's a political leader and a politician, and he's talking to me about what actually rights a church have in regards to, like, I think you just need to go ahead and lead your particular office. And in regards to the church, you know, we're gonna go ahead and say whatever God tells us to say in the context of that. And but it was really weird. Why would you even say that? Because mm-hmm. it's a spirit over the land that's got the church scared to mention anything about what God's viewpoint of that. And if we don't find God's viewpoint, then God's people are not going to know what to do. And if they don't know what to do, that means they're not going to repent. And if we don't repent, that means there's no hope for our nation.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? And so the First Amendment says, you know, Congress shall make no laws respecting the establishment of religion and or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, which means whatever you're doing for God, they can't regulate that. They can't mm-hmm. tell you what to do constitutionally. And I know that that wallbuilders.org, they actually have a whole group of ministers that preach very specifically on tape, and they send it to IRS. Every year at a certain time, and they've been doing this for several years now, trying to get them to challenge this thing that came up, you know, and they still haven't challenged them on it because what it is, it's just a fear thing they're putting out. And right. they are taking people down. They are doing things, but they're doing it in a way, you know, that they know that they can bully somebody. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, First Amendment says that you have a right to be able to talk about Jesus, and mm-hmm. you can, exactly what Jesus says. In addition, even further that, we'll be talking about even raising your children the way that God would say raise them.
Right.
And so we have a battle of that area. But that's original intent today. I just want to encourage you. We'll be talking next week about the oath of office. Pat, everybody from the president, the judiciary branch, the Congress, they take an oath of office mm-hmm. that says that they will protect and defend this Constitution.
Right.
And it doesn't seem a lot of them are necessarily doing this. And that's actually the whole purpose. So anyway, we'll talk more about that. We're going to end the extra hour now. We're so excited about all the things that are happening. I do want to say this. I do want to say that don't forget the highlights will be up today and that we will be joining you on Monday at 9 a.m. And don't forget about the marathon weekend. We'll be seeing you. Monday morning. But don't forget about the marathon weekend all weekend long, starting at 9 a.m. on Saturday Central Time. Have a blessed day. This has been BFN Radio.